First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 11th, 2015, The Church Around the World.
All right, if you'll stand out of respect for God's Word, we will read in unison 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that ye partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. You may be seated.
The Bible tells us that those who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're doing things right, you're going to face a little bit of persecution. People are going to say they don't believe what you say. They're going to say you're a little bit intolerant. They're going to say, how come you're so narrow-minded? And I will tell them, yes, you're right. I'm exactly right. I'm narrow-minded in many, many ways. There's only a certain size shoe that I wear. There's certain things that I like to read. There are definitely certain things I like to eat. And when it comes to when I think about God, there's only a limited area of things that I think, well, are correct, that are right, that I believe, that I would say, this is what I think. Voice of the Martyrs is an organization we're going to talk about for a few minutes. We have some things, and I have a couple of things that I was going to have some helpers. So I have two. It's just you. Make sure that these are for one per adult, and if there's enough left, anybody else can have some. But Voice of the Martyrs is an organization we're going to talk about. They help, they support, they work with people who are in very difficult places in the world. Their website is easy to remember. It's persecution.com. Hard to forget that one. Persecution.com. They have a testimony book here for someone that, when I look at this stuff and I read this stuff, I have a great deal of empathy. I'm glad that I live in the United States. I'm glad I was born in Denver. I'm glad I live in the Seattle area right now. God has blessed me. I'm glad for our church friends. I'm glad for where we live. I'm glad for knowing you. But this book here is a testimony. It's called These Are the Generations. And they have these for free. If you contact them, they will give you this booklet for free. Because they want you to see and read about these people, and they want you to pray for them. It's the story of a family that lived in North Korea. They lived in Korea before there was a North and South Korea. They were believers, and they talk about how they have worked to keep honoring God, to keep their faith, how God has kept them safe, but the difficulties and the dangers that they have experienced. The subtitle on this is the story of how one North Korean family lived out the Great Commission for more than 50 years in the most Christian hostile nation in human history. So you think of North Korea, this is the kind of presentation you ought to be thinking of, maybe instead of other things that you see. But it's good to remember that in so many places in the world, you can go to jail for having a Bible. A group I've worked with currently in the past, Frontline Fellowship, that goes to Eastern Europe for a period of time in the 70s, they were old-fashioned Bible smugglers. When I grew up as a young man going to church in the 70s, our church supported a man who was French and Russian, but it was the USSR, and he would take things behind the Iron Curtain and spread them around. He had been arrested. He had had difficulty because he was both a Russian and French citizen, because God allowed him to have Russian and French parents. He had a little bit more freedom to do things than others had. When we think of organizations, sometimes the organization reflects a person. And when we think of what's going on in the Middle East in ISIS, you'll see this kind of symbol that Christian people are wearing. Why is this so popular? I told you I'm trying to learn Arabic. I've got a couple of booklets on it, and I have a hard time learning how to make the letters. So I'm struggling with this. Well, remember that this is the letter N. This is the capital, this is the capital letter N. And it's used by some of our more, I'll use the word radical Arabic friends, to identify who is a Nazarene. They will say, Jesus, he was a Nazarene. And so they will mark sometimes a dwelling or a business with this symbol standing for the inn, the way that the Nazis would put a Star of David on a business in Germany, because it would mark that A, they were being watched, and B, it's better if you left, because they would come back later to either arrest you, or they would prefer that you would be gone so that they could take control of your business or your dwelling. Like it says at the bottom there, the ultimatum was convert, flee, or die by the sword. So in Germany, that's why so many people were leaving Germany to come to other countries. A lot of them went to Holland, so that didn't help so much. The ones who had the most success are the ones who left Europe and made it to someplace else, hopefully the United States. Here's something I want to talk about. We go to Romania. And Romania, what are they famous for? Well, they're famous for some gymnasts. They're famous for issues. They had one of the few oil fields that the Nazis could access via Pilosky in World War II. So for a while, Americans were bombing Romania because they were trying to shut down the oil fields. They were not very successful. And then Romania finally fell to pro-Western powers. But Pastor Richard Wurmbrand is who we're talking about today. He was born in 1909 in Bucharest. When you think of time in Europe, correct me, Barbara, I think I'm correct. England is 8 hours ahead. Most of continental Europe is 9 hours ahead. But beginning with Romania to the east, they are 10 hours ahead. So it's almost noon, so it's almost 10 o'clock in Romania. There's some Romanian friends I've been messaging, working on preparing for our trip. I expect to go home. And then before they go to bed, I expect to get answers to emails and messages that I've sent them. So that's the time difference between these two places. Now, Richard Wurmbrand was the youngest of four boys, noticed in a Jewish family. Sometimes you wonder if you make any difference. In the late 1930s, in a village in Romania, a godly old carpenter named Christian Vofkis, and W's are V's, remember, Vofkis, prayed for years that God will help him win a Jew for Christ. This is the late 30s, so fascism is spreading throughout the continent, and people are concerned. Remember, on just the other side, then you have the Soviet Union, which is not necessarily friendly to Jews either. A young Jewish man and his wife arrived in his village. That young Jewish man and his wife, Richard Wurmbrand and his wife, in 1938, he leads them, Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand, to Jesus Christ. He prayed for people, and I believe sometimes I have prayed, God, please help me. I can think of a person, sometimes a class, sometimes when I have seen someone gotten saved, and someone I have prayed for, sometimes for many, many years. I have an adult female friend older than I, who was prayed for years as a young woman in her 20s and early 30s to get saved, and she never would. And then one of her friends, an adult male, who prayed for her, was a devout Christian, got cancer and died. And she says, watching my friend die and looking at his faith that he had in Christ and watching how he praised this God who seemingly has taken his life changed her. And at his funeral, she trusted Christ as her Savior. So you never know the impact you have on people. You never know the impact that you might take. But Louis Harry Chafer wrote a book called True Evangelism. He says True Evangelism is the foundation of prayer. So if you pray for people to come in your way, and you pray for people you know God gave you a chance to impact them for Christ, I think that's important, because when I have seen someone get saved, oftentimes it has been something that I have been praying for. In World War II, 1941, he who became a pastor was trying to be evangelistic, and they were arrested. So here you have a Jewish Christian, so there's two strikes against him when he came to being in Europe during World War II. In 1945, after the war was over, but the Soviets came in and occupied Romania, there was a, quote, Congress of Cults. Reading about how the church was controlled in Germany during World War II is one thing, But after that was over, our Soviet friends came in and attempted to exercise the same type of control over church movements behind the Iron Curtain. He told his wife, Richard did, that he didn't want to go, that he didn't want to participate in these conferences, and he wanted to stay away, essentially to see if they could hide. But his wife was very bold, and his wife asked him if he was a coward. I don't know if I recommend that, ladies, to tell your husband that if he doesn't want to do something. But she asked her husband if he was a coward. And she told her husband, as the quote says there, to wipe the shame from the face of Jesus, because people were ashamed to take a stand for Jesus. So at this meeting, he told the delegates there that their duty as Christians was to glorify God in Christ alone, and not to be manipulated by the state. You can see the result of that is he began to be arrested. Sunday morning, February 29th, he went to church. He was arrested and was prisoner number one. There's a lot of things I'm not putting in here, but if you have the interest in the Portrait for Christ, or there are many other presentations, there's actually a presentation designed for younger people that we have shown here at church before animated about some of the things that his family went through. They arrested his wife. He and his wife were both put in prison at the same time. They had a young child, I think at that time was about 9 years old. And people were telling one another, oh, your mom is dead, your husband's dead, your wife is dead, because they were trying to destroy their family. In 1956, he was arrested, but he continued to try and preach. And in 1959, he was arrested again and sentenced for 25 years in prison. When I have gone to Romania, I have met other pastors who are not that much older than I am, but some of them have been arrested, or the Securitate had tried to make them quiet, or in some cases have tried to kill them. So being a believer in some parts of the world is very, very hazardous to your health. In 1964, an organization was able to make contact with him and essentially pay a bribe to the governor of Romania of $10,000 to release him and his family to immigrate to the United States. He was told not to tell anybody. So, of course, promptly in 1966, he was given the opportunity, and it was as much as an anti-Soviet exercise, anti-communist, that he was asked to speak to a subcommittee of Congress about what was it like to be a believer behind the Iron Curtain under the control of the Soviets. And all he had to do was he stood up in front of them and took off his shirt. And you only see his back, you don't see the rest of his body, because he suffered, as we say, at the hands of the communists. October 1967, he began the organization that we have materials from the back table, we put something in your hands. There's things online. I encourage you to investigate. And again, persecution.com is an easy thing to remember. That is their webpage. There are pastors around the world, and particularly think of Vietnam. We've shown some videos to some of our young people, even on Sunday nights last summer. We showed some videos of people going to connect with other Christians in Southeast Asia. And there you can get arrested and imprisoned, and all these kinds of things can happen to you still. They have ways of giving support to people. So on their webpage, they will tell us, how can you help? And sometimes for not very much money, like a $30 gift, that's an easy number, they can get some supplies and food. It might take a little while, but they will get material help to people that they won't release the name, they won't release the family, because they don't want them to be discovered, because the government knows these websites and will look at them too. But they can get them food, they can get the help and get some clothes for them. Sometimes there are people who are beaten because they are doing what you guys are doing, some street preaching. That's not a trap to get you in trouble. Not doing certain government things that are almost religious in nature can get you in trouble. And sometimes they can access the people and get them some medical care. So it's an organization where a little bit goes a long way. Like when I go to Romania, we bring some friends, because a little bit goes a long way. So we began the organization Voice of the Martyrs in October 1967. And in 1990, after the fall of Ceausescu, they went back for a while. And the government has worked with them to help them have a printing, like I said, a printing facility and bookstore opened in Bucharest. And officials of the city offered to store Christian books in a room below the palace of Ceausescu, where he had been held in solitary confinement. That's amazing to me. I have a 4-minute video clip I want you to watch. I don't want you to become concerned, though. The first 20 or 30 seconds of it, they're going to act out things to get your attention. But the rest of the video, they're not going to show anything. The rest of the video are Christians around the world giving some testimony on how you can pray for them, how you can help them. This is on Voice of the Martyrs YouTube page. They put this out for our use.
My father in this world left me, but my father in heaven would never leave me.
I love my parents so much. I want them to know that I'm praying that the Lord will open their hearts and minds.
I would like to send a message to my dad. He said you want to kill me. He shed my blood and cover it. No matter what decision you make, I forgive you.
There are two ways when the government finds out someone is a Christian. There is execution. Number two, when a Christian gives up their religion, they are sent to the countryside to political concentration camps.
If they found me a friend, or including my friends in Christ, they will take me and put me in prison. They try to force us to deny our faith, and beat us when we fail.
They now threaten us, saying that India belongs to Hindus. Christians do not belong here.
They make slogan. Christians have been from this village, otherwise we will be killed.
They want us to be if we rebuild the churches, they will kill us. They will break our body into pieces, just like they break the church into pieces.
Many have come to me and said that they went to a church and were told not to come. That means my heart's sad.
I can't see that we are second-class believers, just because some inherited their faith from their parents and others searched for God and found Him.
Many Christians say they gave us, they could have helped us, but they didn't. Each people are supposed to stand with us and have a part in solving our problems.
Since they're pushing us to go to the church and do us to do this, after I went to jail, they said, "Who can come to the church again to avoid us having problems?"
So that is the theme
of that presentation and turn back on for church. For us, what are we supposed to be doing? At the very least, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, pray for those who are in bonds. Pray for people who are suffering around the world just because they're in faith. Read their stories. And I encourage you to read the stories of people around the world. Let's talk about the book of North Korea you can get for free. Voice of the Martyrs has some things you can get for free to look at. Some things are very inexpensive. DVD you can throw in your computer. Just so we showed a couple of these last summer. It's good to see what other people have to go through so you can know how to try to think of them or pray for them. And then find ways to publicize their stories. Because if you're like me and you look at the media, sometimes I will watch people talk or read stories. And people who know better, but who have a great media impact, will say there is no such thing as Christian persecution around the world. Because they will say that Christians are the ones who are persecuting other people. That you and I are causing other people to suffer because we talk about our Bible, we live our Bible, we try to encourage people to live by biblical standards. And they'll say that causes suffering, that people are causing, that people feel like they can't be themselves. Well, if the things that they are trying to be or express don't necessarily have anything to do with the gospel, then sometimes the gospel words will make them feel uncomfortable. As a believer, sometimes if we're doing things, if we take a moment and we're not doing what we should be doing, we can read scripture and feel God telling us that perhaps we should change. We should change the way that we think, change the way that we are acting, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, I've been reading things lately on North Korea because that place in the world is a place where some people have traveled. They've come back with news stories, come back with pictures, come back with testimonies about people who are in prison, not just for not being as supportive of the government as possible, but especially because they're believers and they would honor God more than they would honor their perhaps dear leader. And that can get you in a lot of trouble. So, I'm glad that I live here now, and since I'm here now, sometimes that makes me think there's something I should do. And sometimes doing a little bit helps. Last summer we had, we'll do this again with our young friends soon, we had our young friends take some materials we got from Voice of the Martyrs, and it had addresses and samples that we could send to people who were imprisoned for their faith around the world. So we did that. I haven't heard anything back. They seem it's uncommon to ever get a message back, but if they get mail, they're generally given the mail that they get. And they gave us some samples in their in that person's language for people to copy. That I'm praying for you, God loves you, have a Bible verse you can put in there so that they will know they're not alone. Because you know sometimes how if things aren't going your way, it's very easy to be like Elijah. We'll look at him in a couple of weeks having this experience. And when it's just you and me, and I'm out here and I'm sunk. And it's very easy to feel like you're the only one. It's very easy to feel that you're by yourself. So it's good when someone gives you the encouragement that they're not alone, that you're not alone. God will never leave and forsake you, and God encourages Christians to have it. And the concept of fellowship is building each other up in your faith, to strengthen your faith, to get you closer to God, and to demonstrate some kind of love and compassion. Philadelphia, love among the brethren. So when you get together, hopefully you find Christian friends that encourage you, lift you up. Because sometimes we're not careful about it. We think that God has given us the spiritual gift of criticism. I can't find that in my Bible. But there's a spiritual gift of encouragement, I believe. And that's what we should be doing for one another, is encouraging and lifting each other up.